Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
All right. Good morning. Happy Sunday. So glad you're in church. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word I would hear this morning. Thank you because the entrance of your word gives light. And this month of lights, we are enlightened. Even as the word of God comes to us today, decisions concerning our lives, family members, businesses, finances, we would make the right one because we'll be enlightened by your word. Thank you, Father. Thank God after today's service, we will know something has happened and things have changed. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. It's still a year of laughter and a month of light, and we were fasting and praying last week from Monday to Wednesday. And I hope you participated in the fasting and praying exercise. All right. And last week, our message title was the same. And we were emphasizing that anything Jesus can do, we can do also. And that is a fact. And we proved that that is what he wanted. That is what he wanted. Beyond giving you what he desired. You know, something I was going to say last week that I didn't say. Let me just say it now that it comes to mind. You know, and I've told you guys before, Peter didn't want Jesus to die. He loved him, but also he got some benefits from working with this man. Remember, when he decided to follow Jesus, because he had met Jesus before, the Bible tells in John chapter 1 that Andrew, his brother, introduced him to Jesus. So he had met him. He had met the man. Oh, great man. Nice man. But the day he decided to follow Jesus, something happened. That was in Luke chapter 5. He had been toiling for fish and he got none, and Jesus, you had a multitude, and Jesus said, you know what, if I stay on this land and they come, they might crush me. So he looked and he remembered, he knew Peter, he knew him before. He said, oh please, can I enter your boat and you move out? And so Peter said, well, at least then the boat has some use. He said, sure, you can. And so Jesus taught the people. When he was done, he then told Peter, and move into the deep, that means move a bit deep into the sea, and let down your nets for a catch. Peter said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing, but at thy word. So Peter will say, listen, Master, if there was fish, you know, the same experience later on. But the beginning, if there was fish here, they would have gone. But he said, at your word, that means it is your fault if nothing happens. It's you I'm going to hold. And so he goes out, he puts the net in the sea, and he caught so many fishes. The Bible said the net broke. And then he called James and John, the sons of Zebedee, because they were with their father Zebedee and the servants, so they had a fishing company. So he called them and said, help. And they brought the net with the fishes, put it in his boat, and in James and John's boat. And the Bible says the boats began to sink. Ah! You know, because it's fishes, some of you might not understand. Imagine if you were selling things. If you were selling things and you don't want to open, because the previous day you didn't sell anything. Let's say you were selling something that, you know, is also popular, like camphor. That's all you sell. All right? And you have a shop that is the size of a cell meeting. Okay? And the last day nobody came, so today you're just tired. And then one minister comes to you and say, you know the minister, your brother has introduced you to him. And he comes and says, please, can I use your store for our cell meeting? And he says, sure, why not? Well, you pay me, but use it. And so when he's done using and you want to close up, he says, no, open the store, leave it, customers will come. And let's say you had just 1,000 sets of camphor. He said, listen, let me tell you something. Camphor doesn't even move. And I've been here for the past 1 week, no sales. But because of you, I should be at home right now resting, but because of you, I will try. Obviously, for you to say that, you also want it to happen small. He said, because of you, I'm going to try. And then you leave the store open, and that day you had 10,000 customers. Listen, what would you do? You would look for that minister's church. You would volunteer to work in that minister's church. You would be carrying, in fact, you close the shop
Someone can bring 10,000 customers. What does that mean? It means you will never lack. When Peter saw that, he first of all ran to Jesus and said, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man." They said, "Okay, don't worry, you'll be catching men." But that did something in Peter, who did that find out. It gave him the consciousness that if I walk with this man, I will never lack. That's what it means. Someone that can make us catch so many fishes, the two boats began to sink. The net broke. When Jesus called James and John, they were fixing the nets. When he finally called them to ministry, they were fixing the nets that just broke. If you follow this man, you will never lack. And while you're getting excited about never lacking, you realize that this man raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. It was just you, James, and John that were there. And you saw it. Ah, if you follow this man, you will never die. But before that, he had gotten into your house and your mother-in-law was sick with a high fever. And he touched her and rebuked the fever, lifted her up, and she became whole. If you follow this man, you will never fall sick. And then you hear about Lazarus. And he's been dead 4 days now. He's been in the grave 4 days. And then you go and you see this man calls Lazarus out. If you follow this man, it is never too late. Listen, you don't want that man to die. So imagine Peter's amazement when one day Jesus started talking about his death, his burial, and resurrection. His death? If he dies, Peter has already left his business. Remember, later on, Peter had to be sure that they were safe because he asked the master, "We have left everything and followed you. And what will we have in return?" Just to be sure. But that shows you something. He had left his business. He had left his family. And now this man is saying he's going to die. No way. The Bible says he called Jesus and rebuked him. He said, "Not so, Lord. This shall not be unto you." And when you read that at face value, at first, you think Peter just really loved Jesus. That was part of it, but that was not all. Because later on, Jesus unveiled why Peter talked that way. You read that. I told you guys, that was where he said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?" He said, "If you're ready to come after me, you should be ready to die." So shall I interpret that? Listen, following me doesn't mean what you're thinking. You will never die. You will. I'm just thinking that, see now, Peter eventually died the way Jesus died, just upside down. And Jesus told him how he was going to die. That's in John 21. Okay, but we're saying, following me doesn't mean you're not going to die. Don't think you have caught me now, you have caught jackpot. But that was what Peter was interested in. I'm following this man, I love him, and I have benefits. But I'm trying to tell you that we are the same. What Jesus wanted was not just that he would provide for us, but we also will be where he is providing for others. Peter was looking at this thing carnally. He was thinking, if I follow this man, I would always have. Jesus was thinking, listen, you don't have to follow me. I'm going to give you my life. So you live the life that I'm living. That was a higher goal. That was a higher purpose. And that was what Jesus wanted. That is what he wants for you. I told you guys, at times when you talk about being like Jesus, it seems so abstract if all you want is to make money. But why not be like the man that fed 5,000 in the wilderness? That means you would never lack. Why not be like the man that brought out money from a fish mouth? Brought out a coin, 2 drachma, from a fish's mouth. That means you would never lack. That means there is money everywhere. That's what it means. Why not choose to be like that man who told you in confidence that, listen, Solomon was not as clothed as the grass of the field. And he said, listen, God is thinking of you. If you're preaching that message, that means you must wear some really nice clothes. And Jesus did. They were going to crucify him and they were still casting lots. They divided his garments. So Jesus didn't. They were still casting lots, okay? For his clothes. These were soldiers. That means he dressed nicely. They insulted him. They called him a glutton. They called him a drunk. They didn't call him poor. Because he could make money available. So if all your desire is to make money, you've come to the right place. You're in the right place. Being spiritual doesn't mean being poor. When you study the word of God, which spiritual person do you know was poor? Is it Job? Job did not end up like a poor man. Is it Elijah? You say Elijah was living in caves.
The same man that everybody was hungry and he was being fed, does that sound like a poor man to you? We're talking about being sufficient last week Sunday. Every spiritual man is sufficient. At any given point in time, he would have what he requires for what he needs, what he wants to do. The same thought God was sharing with Moses when he said, what do you have in your hand? If it's just a rod, if you're a spiritual man, that rod can part the sea. If it's just your hand, if you're a spiritual man, that hand can do wonders. So why not choose spirituality? Why not choose to be spiritual? Praise the Lord. And we're going to study more on that today, later on. But let's look at this topic. So it's a month of life. Let me look into that briefly this Sunday. At times I just think, I was sharing with you guys in Port Harcourt earlier this year, the leaders. I just think, you know, as a minister, you want to ask, how are you sure you're doing the right thing? How are you sure you're giving people the right instruction for their life? How? What is the confidence you have that when someone is going through this stuff and he comes to your church, things will change? I have that confidence, but then I just used to think, you know, man, it takes some confidence. You're not going to give them money. You're just going to share the word and their life will change. Where does that confidence come from? How do you know when you're done ministering and teaching the word, you did not waste your time? How? Because of Jesus. Because of him. As Christians, we have confidence that the decisions that we make are the best if it's based on the word of God. The word of God gives us that confidence. We can completely rely on the method of the word. Concerning our relationships, I'm thinking right now, I'm thinking in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus talking about how that your brother offend you. Go and meet your brother and tell him his fault between you and him. And you're thinking about that and you're realizing, oh, the best method for conflict resolution, if you have an issue with your brother, is not to pray about it. It's not to go and first tell someone else. That is not the method. God's method, Jesus' method, is go and talk to him first. And I told you guys the reason why he said that, because at times you could be the one that misunderstood the situation, or you could be the one, at times you want to go and talk to him to apologize to you. And by the time you're done, you realize that actually you're the one that should apologize. So, no shadows in that relationship. Well, so if I do that as a Christian, that is the best method. I will not regret doing that. Are you saying it? So when we follow the instructions in the word, let's look at something. John 8. So let's look at our Bibles now. John 8. It's 12. I love it so much. I love it so much. I love it so much because there's a message. I think we had born of the word. I think that's the message. That was last year. And I was sharing from this verse. John 8 verse 12. I read it. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. To be Jesus, you have to be really wonderful. Why? Because until he came, every prophecy was quite limited to Israel. So what you should hear is, I am the light of Israel. Right? And then he comes and he's so global in the way he thinks. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He says, if you follow me, there would never be a point in your life that you're confused, that you don't know what to do. He says, no, you would have the light of life, the understanding about life, about how to live life. So he thinks that to live this life, you need some understanding. You need some revelation. You need some insight. But before he said this, something had happened. Because, yeah, this statement did not come out of nowhere. He was trying to say, listen, what I did just a few seconds ago is the best way to do things. And if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. What just happened? They brought the adulterous woman to him. And let me read it. Okay? verse 3, chapter 8. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, so she was taken, she was caught. There was no room for saying, did you, what happened? Is it true? Is it not true? No, they caught her. Okay? And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. There are some people, you're a Christian, but you go around calling young women terrible names because of the life that you think they are living. Stop it. Be like Jesus. All right? He didn't go, ah! So they caught you. Finally, that's what happened. So you have to stop it as a Christian. Okay? All right. Verse 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what says thou? What a question. What? They just told him what the law said. It's like someone brings drugs to you, cocaine, and say, according to the law, we should not use it. But what do you say? You know what they even do? That's a trap. That's a trap. A very interesting trap they set. Because if he had said, all right, kill her, that would have been so terrible. Why? Because of what? I love Jesus so much. Because of what he revealed later on. Everybody has sinned amongst him there. If he had condemned this woman for her sin, how about his disciples that were following him that had done something wrong? Are you seeing what happened? How about them? How about them? The prostitutes and the publicans that had changed their life but still remember they did something wrong. How about them? So if he had said, stone her, she had sinned. That would have been terrible. Then if he had said, don't stone her, he was breaking the law. And they'll call him a rebel. And then they'll have legal rights to kill him. So how do you get in, out of that darkness? That is a dark place. How do you walk out of it? Oh, no wonder he said, I am the light of the world. You know what that means? Light can never be in a dark place. Do you know that? Light can, if light is in that place, it stops to be dark. So if there's a confusing situation and you put light there, it stops to be confusing. So they could not trap him. That's what he's trying to say. You can't trap light. Okay, look at this. He says, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Only Jesus can come out of that situation that way. He didn't tell them to break the law. He said, cast the stone at her. But then he didn't condemn her for sinning. He said, he that is without sin. So he had kept his disciples in a safe place and he had delivered the woman. Look at this. Verse 9. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. So it was after this happened that he said, listen, I am the light of the world. If I can come out of this situation like this, then if you follow me, you will never walk in darkness, but you'd have the light of life. You'd have the light of life. So there's a light of life. There's a way you should do life. There's a way. There's an understanding of life that you require. There's a way you should live life. You can't live life the way you like. Even when you come into this world, you're told you can't live life the way you like. Someone says, oh, I'm a free spirit. I just want to walk on the road, on the main road, on the express. You can't walk in the middle the way you like. You can do that in the streets. Have you ever seen people on the express where cars are moving, they're playing football? They can do that in the streets, but not on the express. There's a way to live life, even physically. There's some places you should not go to. There's some things you should do in some spaces. If you're in the bus, you should not be jumping up and down, except you're a small child. There's a way to live life. But you see, the method the world gives you is flawed. It's flawed. But it says, if you follow me, you would have the light of life. That method that is not flawed. That method that would always work. Ah, I think about it and I get so happy, so excited. It means all I have to do, anytime I find myself in this situation, is to find out what did Jesus say about it. If I can get what Jesus said about it, if I can get what the Word of God said about it, then I found out the best way to deal with that issue. He becomes your confidence. He becomes your confidence. Okay. But this is the most amazing thing. Let's go to that verse 12 again. Hope you're following me. All right. Verse 12 again. He says, I am the light of the world. True. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, if he has said, I am the light of the world, and I will give you light, then what I'm about to say, I would not have said. But then if he says, to have the light of life, you have to follow him. That means to understand life, you have to follow him. That means be like him, act like him, respond like him. Because following him doesn't mean walking up and down. Judas followed him and did not have the light of life. So it's not about traveling everywhere. Else this instruction will not be for us. You don't follow somebody by doing eye service, by being around. You follow the person through the person's instructions. And so follow him. He says, if you follow me, you would have the light of life. You would understand life. You would understand how to live life. What does that tell you? It tells you that to understand how to live life, you must follow the spiritual. Because how did Jesus live his life? The spiritual, the supernatural. So the man who just operates in the physical realm will not have the understanding of life. The man who just operates in the intellectual realm would only go so far. He says, follow me. Then you will understand life. And in following him, you have to do supernatural things. You have to do spiritual things because he did supernatural and spiritual things. He did. And so understanding life would only begin from the supernatural, from the spiritual. Is that surprising? No. The Word of God made all things. Every physical thing started from the spiritual. And so if you can understand the spiritual, you would rule in the physical. That's what he's saying. Let me give you some examples that you like, because I know you guys like stories and gist. Okay? In Mark chapter 1 and Luke chapter 4, something happened. But Luke gives us a background. And I like to tell you guys that background so you understand what happened in that scenario. Jesus was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. And while he was teaching, a man was among the congregation. Now, firstly, if they are suspected that that man was mad, he would not be sitting with them. They would have stopped him at the door. That means the man looks normal. He dressed normal. He looked like every other person. Okay? And before that happened, remember, Jesus had already moved to Capernaum, but then he went to Galilee to preach. And they nearly killed him. They pushed him to the hill. And after that experience, he left them. And said, the prophet is not without honor, save in his own country. And he left. Now, that is important so you can understand what this man said. And why, if you are not spiritual, you might just be missing out. All right? And so now, Jesus is teaching in Capernaum after he was nearly assassinated in Galilee, in Nazareth. Because Capernaum and Nazareth are in Galilee. Okay? So Nazareth, that was where he was brought up. So he had moved his headquarters to Capernaum. And while he was teaching there, this man was sitting. He looked like every other person. If they had done early service ritual, tell your neighbor you're a success, he would have said it too. He looked normal. And what he even said in that situation was not crazy. When you understand the background, it was not crazy. There was nothing that gave him away that this man was a madman. Nothing. Let me show you Luke 4. So you hear it yourself. Luke chapter 4. Okay? Verse 34. So while Jesus is teaching, then this man stands up and starts shouting. Now listen, that's why I said, on understanding of spiritual things, because this is not that he was not the last person when Jesus was talking that interrupted Jesus while he was talking. People did that, and Jesus never said they had demons? Remember that lady in Luke 11? They said, blessed is the woman that gave birth to you. Remember that one? Remember the man in Luke 14? While Jesus is talking about important things, he's thinking about how to share inheritance with his brother. So you had people who interrupted Jesus and he answered them. But this one he knew. So let's read. Luke 4. Verse. Then chapter 31. So you get what I was saying. And came down to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. So they had chased him from Nazareth. He came to where they accepted him. Okay. There are people who go things like, if they were real men of God in Nigeria, the whole of Nigeria would be saved. Lie. Because life is so simple when you look at Jesus. You will not put undue pressure and not say unnecessary lies. This Capernaum that they accepted him, Jesus in Luke chapter 10, Matthew chapter 11, started talking about how if the miracles that he did in Capernaum were done in Tyre and Sidon, Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have remained to that day. So even in that city, all of them did not believe in him, but at least they did not try to kill him. Do you understand? All right, so let's read this again. Verse 32. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was power. At least you have people who said, this man. Okay. Verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. Who knew this then? Nobody. It was after it had happened that they knew this man had an unclean devil. He didn't come into the place shouting, I have unclean devil. Nobody will sit close to him. Okay? All right. And the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice. So he started shouting while Jesus was teaching, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Now, had thou come to destroy us, I know thee who thou art, the only one of God. This thing is not a crazy speech. Firstly, look at what he said, thou Jesus of Nazareth. Why did he say that? Because if they nearly killed you in Lagos, and you went to Port Harcourt to preach, and then someone says, you from Lagos, what are you doing here? You get the message now. It's not, he's trying to tell him, it's protest, we don't go agree, go back to your place. That's what he's trying to do. Then he says, has that come to destroy us? Anybody can say that. That's why he's protesting. You want to kill us, go back to Lagos. I remember there was once a dear man of God, they said, went to a particular country, and the country said they don't want anything to do with him because the country is coming from, he had had some issues. So they say, if you left your country and you came here, please we don't have anything to do with you. So saying that Allah come to destroy us doesn't mean us. It was only him that was there, us. So obviously anybody sitting there would have thought, oh, he's talking about all of us in Capernaum. I know the word that are the only one of God, eh? But you see, spiritual understanding. Jesus knew this man, what he's saying sounds normal. Because listen, that's what I'm trying to tell you, that he did not look crazy. Because when he started shouting, the people that were there already believed that this Jesus was saying wonderful stuff. They should have held him down. What is, I know who you are, bruh. But he didn't look crazy. He didn't look crazy. But Jesus understood this man, what he's saying is demonic. It's like you want to preach in a bus. And there are times you want to preach in a bus and two people, they have issues, so they are talking, conductor and stuff. There are other times it is Satan. So you say, good morning, everybody. Give me my change. I said, give me my change. What is wrong with you? Let us bow our heads in prayer. Shut up! The shut up is not directed to you. It's directed to the conductor. But the way the person says it, you want to shut up. That is Satan. What should you do? Under your breath, Satan, out, get out of here. And then you greet everybody and everything will be okay. You'll be amazed. Everything will just calm down. Everything will calm down. But you see, in this situation, if Jesus had not acted, this is so important, he probably might have had the same experience he had in Nazareth. And then, if he had let this one pass by, you know how devils are. They spread their message. They have now found how to chase Jesus out of synagogues.
but he didn't. In this kind of situation, it's not intellectual prowess that would help. It's understanding things spiritually. So to understand how life works, you must choose to function in the spiritual realm. Because that is where Jesus functions. And he says, if you follow me, he's not expecting you to follow him physically. He's in the spiritual realm and you're in the physical realm and then you're trying to do it your own way. No. No. Another example I'll give to you. In Mark 4. In Mark 4, the Bible tells us that they were, Jesus had said, let's go from, he had just finished preaching. And he said, okay, let's go to the other side. And then started sleeping. And then, you know what happened? There was the wind, there was boisterous, the wave, and then the water started coming into the boat. That kind of situation. That is darkness. Remember, there were other boats with him though, but in that boat where he was, you had at least three fishermen there. So these were experts of the sea. So he had experts with him there, and they could not help. They couldn't. Peter knew how to swim. The Bible tells us in John chapter 21 that when he saw Jesus at the seashore, he left them and swam to the shore. Obviously, the way that issue was, that accident was going to be, it's not the kind of accident that you can escape through swimming. He knew that. Else, you know, Peter, he would have said, Master, climb my back. And then he jumps into the sea. So all of his expertise failed him. Men, they were in a dark place. And Jesus was sleeping. When he woke up, that's a dark situation. All the experts in your team think you're about to die. But if you follow him, you'll not walk in darkness. You would have the light of life. You understand what to do in that situation, and he understood what to do. What to do was not to ask the expert. The expert didn't know what to do. What should he have done? Speak to the wind and the waves. And that is what he did. Doing that takes spiritual understanding. And he had it. He had it. And says, if you follow me, you'll not walk in darkness. But you have to be willing to follow him. Willing to believe in the supernatural. And to function in that place. Do you know, as a Christian, you can function in supernatural? It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. I told you guys in the message on Wednesday, simple thoughts about purpose. That once you get born again, being good at something becomes a choice. This idea of you're gifted in playing piano disintegrates once you get born again. Because the gift of God is given to you. That gift, eternal life, that gift, the Holy Spirit, is greater than all gifts. And so now it's just a choice. If I decide I want to be good in playing keyboard, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. So walking supernatural is a choice. The day you decide today, I want to walk in supernatural, you begin to. All you have to do is to believe the word. That's all. Think about it. Think about all the people you know that walked with Jesus and walked in the supernatural. What extra thing did they do? They were not even fasting, these guys. So what extra thing did they do that made them walk in the supernatural? They followed Jesus' instruction. That was all. He called the 12 in Matthew chapter 10 and sent them forth to heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. What extra thing did they do? Nothing. They just said, the master said, we can do it. Let us go and do it. What extra thing did Peter do to bring out coin from a fish's mouth? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Aside, Jesus said, I can do it, and he did it. What extra thing did Peter do while he had just finished shouting in that boat when Jesus said, walk on water? Nothing. Aside the fact that Jesus said, I can do it, and so he did it. What extra thing do you need as a Christian that have the life of Jesus? You have the spirit of Jesus. You have the name of Jesus. All of the authority of Jesus you have. So what extra thing do you need to walk in supernatural? A decision. You just decide from today, my life is supernatural. I'm going to believe the word. And it becomes like that. And I'm going to teach you before we end today. I'm going to teach you. But you see, if you don't, it is possible. Alright? It is possible. It is possible to
not walk in darkness, but to have the light of life. Every day of your life, it is possible to understand the situation every time. It is possible that in your life, you don't have to say, we don't know what to do. It is possible. But for that to be your story, you need spiritual understanding. And what is that spiritual understanding? Just following Jesus. Just following Jesus. And following Jesus is not abstract. That's a good part. Right? When we say, be friends with Jesus, be friends of the word. You know, I've made it simple for you guys. Some of you don't know it, but I've made it really simple. When we say, be friends with Jesus, it doesn't mean sitting down in your room and waiting for Jesus to tell you the mysteries of angels. That can happen, but it might not happen to you. But you know what? While he was on the earth, it was recorded that he spoke about angels. You don't need to sit in your room and wait for Jesus to tell you how hell is like. And in hell, people are suffering. No, you're waiting for Jesus to appear to tell you that. You don't need that. You already have in the word, in Luke 16, in Matthew chapter 25, he tells you what hell is like. And listen, when you read that, you can take that to the bank. Let me tell you, when you see Jesus, he will not tell you something different. He will stick to his word. So when you study the word of God, you're not studying like, oh, this is preamble. When Jesus appears, he will now tell me something else I don't know. Uh-uh. When you're studying the word of God, this is exactly what he would say. That, such confidence. Such confidence. And when you see him and he's talking to you, if you have not heard what he's saying before, wait, go and read your Bible. You see that everything he will tell you is already in the word of God. So how do I not walk in darkness concerning my marriage? Jesus talked about a lot of things. You know, there are many things I've told you guys before that when you read between the lines in the scripture, you realize, oh, look at that. He actually talked about this. We won't show you one of them. There's some that standard. I told you guys about Islam. And how Paul had already said, listen, if an angel comes and tells you something different, that angel will be cursed. So that's talking about Islam. It's all about marriage. How about marriage? Now, marriage is not just man and woman anymore. It's man and man, woman and woman. Right? So Jesus clarified that. People say, marriage cannot be man and man. Jesus believed in love. But did Jesus talk about that? Yes, he did. He did. Matthew chapter 19 and Mark 10, if you like to study a lot. I think Luke 18 also. Let me show you. Verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? So we're talking about divorce. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them what? Male and female. That's marriage. Not man and man, no woman and woman. Male and female. Someone says, children are born into this world. So if a child dies at 1 year old, is he going to hell? What has Jesus said about it? He said, same Matthew 19, all right? Matthew 19, but I think more emphasis on Mark 10. Let me show you that. He said that the children, they are angels, behold the face of his Father in heaven. But the Bible calls the unbeliever darkness and the believer light. If the unbeliever is darkness, then no unbeliever has angels with him, only demons. So, children, he didn't say believing children, he said children have angels. Why? Because they are still protected until they become accountable. So if they die today, they're going to heaven, not hell. So Jesus talked about it. And there are many things he talked about. Maybe one of these days we'll do some Q&A. Ask me anything. I'm going to tell you Jesus talked about it. He did. And so when you hear from Jesus, you don't need anything extra.
That's enough. That's enough. That's enough for me. What has Jesus said about finances? What has he said about business? He's talked about it. That decision that you want to make, if Jesus had already said this is how decisions should be made, listen, do it that way, you'll not regret. You'll not regret. Following Jesus is the best decision you ever make. Because with him, with Jesus, there is no external factors affecting the outcome. He is above external factors. Do you understand? Like if you wanted to make this, let's say you're driving, and you're driving from Abuja to Lagos, there could be external factors that could affect your journey. Thieves might shoot at the car, and the car might stop, and the journey would stop. But if you were flying, those thieves, have you ever seen a thief trying to shoot at an airplane? That plane has gone above those thieves. And so when you follow him, there's nothing like, oh, what if the dollar changes today? This plan might not work. It will always work. Because no external factor, oh hallelujah, no external factor can affect it. Such confidence. Such confidence. Isn't it wonderful? We have someone that, I've told the guys many times, you know, there are people you can follow and you might be following them with caution. I told the guys in school, they said this is the best student, but he didn't graduate with the 5 points. Okay, graduate with 5 points, but he didn't get 100% in everything. Graduate with 5 points, some courses he got 70%. That means he failed 30. Some courses he got 98%. That means he failed 2. He's not perfect. So if this is the course, let's say you're sitting with him and you like to copy. Copying is wrong besides. And you like to copy. And the only one you copy is that 30% he failed. Even if he's the best student, following him has led to your failure. But there is someone that when we follow, we can take his word 100% because he would be right 100%. His name is Jesus. So you should trust him. You should make up your mind. This is the most important person in the world. And so you should give him time. Some of you wake up, you rush to work. Don't be a fool. What you're looking for, he can give to you. Spend time with the word of God. This morning of light, I told you guys, one message a day. Listen to the word of God. He'll give you what you want. Listen to the word of God. Stick with the word of God that would never fail. Never fail. Never fail. You know, and then in life you begin to use the word. Let me give you an example and take whatever you want to take from this example because it'll help you. If you are about to pay your rent or your renters, you know, your rent is due and the landlord is coming on Friday, this is Monday. How can you use the word? Simple. Look for the solution. You know, the more you study the word of God becomes like packets of light. You know, there's a theory, light is a wave, and light is in packets, all right? So it becomes packets of light, okay? And so, go to Philippians 4, verse 6. Someone says, what do I do? What, I can tell you, I can give you a resource you can use. Are you seeing it? A resource. I can give you the money that you need. I can give you the currency you require. I can show you. It's in Philippians 4 verse 6. It says, be anxious not. Now there are many other things, many other verses I can use. But let's use this currency. Okay? It's not Naira. This one is more efficient. So take that word. Be anxious for nothing. That's all you need. And you decide, I'm not going to be anxious for anything. You know what's going to happen? Get ready. Because you're going to start hearing. You're going to start thinking. Give the word of God space in your mind. Put that word in your mind. Anytime the thought comes, replace it with that word. I'm anxious for nothing. Hear Jesus talk to you. He's saying, be anxious for nothing. It could be Wednesday. Put that word there.
and the word of God begins to prevail. At times, the thought comes, you already see how your landlord is going to knock, but you have the word, be anxious for nothing. This is God talking to you. I assure you.
If God says be anxious for nothing, that means he has a plan. And you see that plan. You'll see that plan. Look at Jesus in John chapter 11. They came to tell the master, the one who you love is sick. And he said, this is not unto death, but for the glory of God. So if you hear that, you say, oh, thank God, he's not going to die. And remember, I've told you guys before, when Jesus said that, people could take it to the bank. Why? Because remember, that's a Syrophoenician woman. And the nobleman in John chapter 4. Jesus told the woman, let's start with the woman. He told the woman, the devil is gone out of your daughter. But he didn't go to her house. So from where he was, he already said, the girl is well. So by the time the woman got there, the girl was well, she was sleeping. Then the man, the nobleman in John chapter 4, that said his son is sick, just said, unless you see miracles, you not believe. He said, all right, go. Go. By the time the man got there, his son was well. And so now they come in John 11 and say, Master, the one whom you love is sick. He said, this sickness unto death for the glory of God. What would you think? You think, by the time we go, the boy will be fine. Or the man will be fine. It was Jesus that came to announce to them that Lazarus is sleeping. I'm going to wake him up. That means in that situation, it's not just that Jesus was going to be late. If we're Martha and Mary, it's over. You know, you're looking for that rent. You're looking for the rent. It's Friday, deadline. Imagine if we're Martha and Mary. That means it's already Saturday. It's over. And Jesus said, okay, let's go to Bethany. And then he goes there. And then he finds out, that was where he found out that it's been 4 days. That was where he found out. So, if you ever use your faith and you think, okay, it's like Jairus' daughter, just a few hours, or that widow's son, a name, just a few hours. But now it's 4 days. But he was not shaken. He remembered what he said. He remembered what he said. This sickness is not unto death. So death has no respect. You can imagine, Jesus already said it's not unto death, and death still showed up. No, he was going to show death. He was going to do it. Glory to God. He was going to show death. He already said it is not unto death. And death, remember, death, I told you guys, death is a spirit being. Death heard it and still went to take the man. Okay. No problem. He gets to Bethany. Says not unto death. And of course, every other person came. Martha, first of all, you know, attacked him. That he was late, and that one was attack. So emotion, anger. Mary came and started crying. That one, emotion, sadness. But all along, he remembered, he said, this sickness is not unto death. And so when he got in front of the cave, he said, Father, I thank you because you heard me. That means all along, he'd been thinking about what he said that the Father heard. This sickness is not unto death, and death still took this man. Okay. So he goes in front of the cave and says, Lazarus, come forth. See how powerless death was. Death could not hold Lazarus. You see, Jesus did not say, Lazarus, come forth, or your Peter and John, let's go. And he runs into the cave. Where's that your son? We are going to fight today. No. Oh, God. It shows how powerless death is. At the name of Jesus. And the man came forth. Death did not stop him, block him at the entrance. Death did not drag him back. Death has no power. That is the man you should follow. I don't blame Peter. If you see that kind of thing, you don't want that man to die. But that man had a bigger plan for Peter's life. Soon enough, Peter would also raise someone from the dead. Because you see, Peter had always thought that since this man is here, if any of my relatives die, at least I can raise them up. But Jesus' plan was not that if any of them die, call me. No. His plan was if any of them die, you are there. And that is planned for you. But you have to follow him. You have to follow him. Give chance. So I was saying that to say, that when he says be anxious for nothing, if you use that word as a material, as a weapon, all right? And we talked about shield of faith. If you use that word and you put it in your mind, you only see that word, you will not come back disappointed. You will not. So this word of lights, emphasize the word of God. Place emphasis on the word. Place emphasis on the word. Just speak in other tongues where you are. Liga prakasiga dosht. Leko prakizaramaka suka degrade sarabakdi. Lograde sukabrado sharamande ligades. Leko prakasiketu sabrekta. Librano sukat igrade sharekadiskara dosarabakta. Leko sukabrade sekedosha de gradis. Ziktuske vectakti gradiskara dosha. Lekamatuska egradis. Zukabrakes. Ketosharamate, Leko Sukabraka Sigadoja, Ribako Zaramaka Sigadeja, Legrodo Sukabraka Sigadoja, Leko Prake Sekedo Saramande Ligadoshka, Leko Praki Zaramande Ligadushka Ramande. And if you're looking for the strategy that you want to use, light is granted unto you now in the name of Jesus. Liga Braku Saramande Ligade Sigadoshka Rabate, Mako Sukabrake Zaradosha, Lika Braka Sigadeza, Remoko. Sukabraka sigadoja, remaka sigadi gradiza, lebra cosa ramande, igatus geredushka ramaka sigadiza, reko sukabraka sigadoja, rabakta digadeza, remakosa credi gradi geredusa ramande digadoja, repakusa credisa ramande digadeshka ramande. Amen. Amen. But I thank you. Thank you because the anointing of your spirit is upon every single person under the sound of my voice. Thank you because they are enlightened. Thank you for knowledge, for wisdom. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.